Welcome to Authentically Moms. I'm Jacqueline.
And I'm Sujatha. And nothing's off limits, and we keep it real.
Ugh. I got a 10-year-old. I mean, I already know I had a 10-year-old, but Breslin is 10.
I know. Double digits. Can you believe?
No. No. I can't believe how much.
I just remember her when I met you, and she was, what, 6 months old?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how much life ups and downs has happened? Like, the last 10 years of my life. Well, I wouldn't say exactly, but like 9 years.
Yeah.
Has been the most like trauma filled, fear filled, anxiety filled, stress filled, beautiful, amazing, incredible 10 years of
it's a mix of life. All those emotions, right?
Yeah. Like the lowest of low, the highest of high, you know,
could you say looking back or even looking now, is there anything that you can, I don't even know what I'm trying to ask, but I'm just like, do you take anything away from it? Or would you, are you a different person today?
Oh, 1,000%.
And so how?
1,000%. Well,
what has those lessons taught you, or the ups and downs?
Well, really the main thing was that you are not in control of your life, that you have no control over anything really. So to let go, because I mean, you think you do these things or like have kids and want to raise them a certain way or whatever, you know, or like have these plans, and you never know what can happen, right? And so like, yeah, you can still make plans and have best intentions and all that stuff, but things may not turn out that way. And I think it's very hard to accept, especially given certain situations. You know, having a child with disability is like a big deal, and so like I now know like to just be okay with anything, and if plans have to change, then they have to change, you know what I mean? I no longer get upset about like, okay, we have a trip planned, but then let's see if she's not feeling well or like something happened, like I'm okay, it's okay, you know?
Yeah, like kind of go with the flow.
Yeah, I'm more go with the flow. I give people grace because I know that they can be going through like really, really tough times. I can understand grief and anxiety, like debilitating anxiety from people, where like before I couldn't understand. Like, I just thought like it was a choice. And I think also I don't have time for bullshit because I know kind of like real problems. So when I say like, I don't know, rich people problems or like white people problems, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't really, my patience for someone talking about those things. It has diminished, and not that I'm rude into their face, but I'm just like, oh my God, you do not know what a problem is until, you know?
Yeah.
And then COVID happened. And so like, I don't have a lot of time for people complaining or like fake people, because I just like life is precious. So yeah, I mean, I can't really, that's where I'm just like, okay, be yourself, become more comfortable speaking up. You know how you say like now, you're okay saying no to people, letting people down, like you put yourself first. I think I did that when all of this happened, because I take my mental health and like my family's happiness and my happiness and stress like first, regardless of who you are. And so I have been comfortable saying no or like not pleasing everyone, and really basically saying, well, if you aren't okay with my choices or our decisions, then that's your problem.
Right.
I don't need those people in my life. So
would you say that life experiences, or, you know, you're in a situation that you learn
these
habits? Because I could say I didn't have that mindset so much until I went through, you know, the whole scare.
Yeah.
The breast cancer scare. I think things really, I think I feel more of in line with what you feel also. Like you're just, your life is very precious. And yes, life just throws you a curveball and you just don't know, you know, you, it's not in your control. You just don't know. So just enjoy every moment and kind of have to wake up with that intention sometimes. So, I mean, I'd say life experiences sometimes teach you to be the way,
you know, 1,000%. Like, and you can tell people who've not had to go through stuff.
That, okay. I was going to, yeah.
Cause I'm like, the best friendships I have are people who have gone through trauma.
Right.
Cause I need some depth to our relationship. And you know what I mean? But you can also tell like the people who haven't, and like, God bless them. Right. I don't wish trauma or anything on anyone, but like, I also think it gives you a lot of perspective and a lot of empathy, and people like, as some people who have not been through those things, it's really hard to see people on their on the other side and understand from people that.
But it's like when you listen to them talk, it's like the things that they worry about. It's like, whoa!
I wish those were my problems.
Yes, you're like, whoa! That is a good problem to have. Yeah. You know, I'm okay with that. And if I were you, if I knew, if you just knew what I know, they would probably be like, okay, that's not even a problem. Let's not even focus.
And I do want to say like, clearly I listen to people's problems. We all talk shit, even like venting, whatever. That's totally fine. Yes. Right. But, and I don't want to like discredit anyone's problem or what they, you know, but I am able to also like put things in perspective, like, hey, you know what I mean? Like, right. And so, you know, I think being able to understand all ways and being able to like connect with more people who have gone through, you know, not similar situations, but like side effects of going through situations like anxiety and all that stuff. And, you know, it doesn't have to be the same cause, but, you know, like what you go through afterwards is so similar.
Right.
You know, like that's how we connected.
Yes.
So yes, she's 10, 10, 10
and
long years.
And has shown you how to live your life to the
fullest,
right?
I know. So anyway, what was I going to tell you? Remember like a while back I told you about Stanley cups. So remember I had said something about like Stanley lips, how people are going to get wrinkles, like the smokers.
I think about you every time you say that.
It's a deal. It's a thing. I heard some other podcast that their dermatologist was saying how it will start becoming a thing, like Stanley lips.
So what can we do? Like, can we like suck on it differently?
that's like, what he said.
Can we like hold our lips like...
Either that or you just don't do the straw, right? You do like the, but I cannot. Anything other than a straw, I spill on myself. Cause like I'll drink when I'm driving. I can't drink what you're drinking from right now.
I still spill it and I'm not driving.
I mean, you just spilled it right now.
That was not even putting in my mouth yet.
Oh my God, stop. So yeah, I was like, I knew it. And so when that came up on that podcast, I was like, oh my God, see, I fucking thought of that. And it is a true thing. Anyway.
So we should stop drinking out of a straw.
Yeah. Just stop being so hydrated. And we actually look good for these girls now because they're having all their like thermoses and Stanleys at school. When we didn't have any of that, we just started all
this. We had water fountains.
Which no one drank out of. Uh-uh. And we never went to like anywhere with bottles of water. Or anything. They never dropped us off at like the mall for 10 hours with water.
We were dehydrated.
I know. But we also don't have those lips like these little teenies are going to have. They also do like self-care.
Yeah, a lot of self-care.
So whatever.
And, yeah.
We all have our problems. Anyway, so I know last time. Oh, how was your Valentine's?
It was good. So I took, you know, me and Bob don't do anything on Valentine's Day. I think we both talked about it.
Yeah.
We had a good Valentine's. We, on the day of Valentine's, I actually took Bob to a sound bath.
Oh, that's right. I saw you guys go there.
And, I was like, hey, let's relax. Let's try something different. And we both fell asleep in there.
Wow.
I can hear him snoring on the side.
Oh God.
And then he woke up, but it was very interesting on how that works. I don't know if you know how that works, where there's bowls.
Yeah.
And at
I've
one point,
seen it.
A at one point it got so loud and I was like, you know, it's all in your head. And I was like, oh shoot, I can't. I need to run out.
Is the goal? What is it supposed to
do? So I looked that up. It helps you detox. It kind of makes all your organs and everything vibrate a little bit.
Okay.
So it kind of puts you in a relaxing mode and then you detox. So it was sweet. Afterwards, they had champagne and chocolates and cookies. Oh,
sweet.
And then we came home.
Well, you had to go pick up Laurel.
I picked up Laurel before that, right? No. Was it Valentine's Day I picked her up?
Or maybe it was a Thursday.
That was Thursday.
Thursday. Okay.
And so, yeah, it was fun. And the next day we celebrated as a family. So we used Bob's Pizza Maker.
Yes, how was it?
I loved it.
But?
I don't think that Pizza Maker is... I think we're going to go a different route.
Okay.
But it made great pizza. Mm-hmm. It's just some of the toppings, like you had to really adjust to it. And I'm like, I just want to put it in and get it out. I just want to put the pizza in and get it right out and have it cooked. I don't want to be like watching it the whole time.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, the kids loved it.
Yeah.
They would choose homemade pizza over anything. And so that was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Just, we made heart-shaped pizza.
I told you. So we got Chaz, not this past Father's Day. Oh, I guess it was this past Father's Day. We got him the pizza oven.
Mm-hmm.
But yours is inside, right?
Yeah. The only reason why I tried the inside is because I know we're going to be too lazy to go outside all the time.
Like in your patio right out the door.
Yeah.
So
we're all like lazy to go out there and come back in and whatnot. So, but I think that's the route we're going
to
go.
Yeah. I think it has to be because if it's inside, you can't get it as hot as it needs to be.
Right.
Right. It's like a safety concern.
It's electric.
Right. So I think you need the flame.
Yes. To have that
taste.
And if something burns, it really, really tastes bad. I don't know how to explain it because anyways, it was popular. I saw the influencers all use it. I think I just have to adjust to it. But I think Bob prefers the one outside.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably a great one for indoors. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
But y'all love y'all. So
we love ours and we do pizza nights. We do it. We haven't done it in a little bit, but we used to do it like every Sunday. And Donovan, again, like me too. It tastes so much better than like anything you could buy.
So I'm not a pizza person,
mm-hmm.
but I really enjoyed putting my own toppings and enjoying the pizza rather than outside. But both of the kids would not stop talking about it.
Yeah.
That's how good it was.
And Rio's it's just fun.
And Rio's like, all gluten-free pizzas are flat and I want thick bread. And so she made it thick and she was like, oh, heaven, she was enjoying it so much. But anyhow, yeah, we just did that and it was fun. How about y'all?
Did you have any sex?
Yeah.
Any like different sex or just normal sex?
It was normal sex.
No lingerie.
No. Just a little bit more intimate. That's it.
Mm-hmm. We have not had sex.
You didn't have Valentine sex?
No, because...
But after having Dr. What is it?
A Dr. Love Pie?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. There has been no sex for like at least a week and a half. Because they're doing our floors. And so Laurel's been sleeping with us. And then we're at the lake house and then our family was there.
That's an excuse for you at the lake house. You're like... I'm off limits. Yes, I get to do what I want to.
No, but I actually feel pretty bad. I mean, I would love to have some sex, but and they're going to come tomorrow and stain them. And so that's another like, I don't know, 4 days displaced. So I don't know.
Okay, that's okay. That's a good excuse.
Yeah, we're going to have to like pack up more clothes. So I have to know like, what I'm going to wear to brunch, what I'm going to wear to Cotillion, because I won't be able to go in my room into the closet. So I'm going to like pack a suitcase and live
in your own house.
Yes.
Pack up to live on the opposite side of the house.
Like all my makeup. And so that's what I'm like washing my hair tonight so that I won't have to worry about it for a few days.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. And depending on the smell and how it is, I may be spending my days over here just chilling on the couch.
You come over here, girl. This is your house.
I know.
She has a code and she just walks in.
She walks in whenever I'm in the bathroom. I need you to program my own code.
I'll program your code.
So I won't forget it.
Yes. I'll do
it. All right. So we also talked last time about your coping mechanisms and how not only is it helping you with your anxiety, but also sex.
Yes. So let me go back a little bit on which route I decided to go. So I think everybody kind of knew that for about 2 weeks I had the breast cancer scare. And then when I got the clear, that I was in bliss for a week. And then after a week, that anxiety came creeping really, really hard. Like it was taking over my life. And then when I realized that there's no reason why I should be having anxiety, I should be happy, and what caused that to go back, I told myself that I need to go get therapy, because I haven't changed anything. Nothing's happened in that meantime, but I rerouted to live in that anxiety. And so I was talking to a friend, a very good friend, and she's a therapist also. And I was looking at other therapists out there too. And I kind of like let her know, hey, what do you think about these? And she goes, you know what? Let me, before you, you know, sign up with somebody, let me try to find somebody for you. Mm-hmm. And so she found one and we were a match. And I don't know what to compare it to. This is my first time in therapy.
Not even. Did y'all do marriage counseling or anything?
Nothing. We've never been to a therapist. No counseling. No nothing. You know, since I'm in the Indian cult, from the Indian culture, we don't really believe in therapy.
You don't believe, like, it's not been part of anything, or you just don't believe it works? What part of it?
I don't think we count on family for any kind of therapy.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? We count on family for therapy.
I agree. I mean, like,
and you're surrounded by family. Like if you were in a, not in America, but like if you're in India, you are surrounded by people all the time.
I could say the same thing about Mexicans.
Yeah.
You know?
So we go through, you know, anyhow, since I'm not surrounded by family all the time, like I can understand how that's therapeutic too, right? Talking to friends, talking to family and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
But if you have real issues, I think it's, if it's similar to the Mexican culture, I feel like it was never part of the culture.
It's not.
And so you don't know about it. You don't rely about it. You don't go to what you don't know. Right.
Absolutely.
And so I know this generation and my parents' generation, like just now, I think my mom's like, maybe like see someone or like take an anxiety medication. I know I do. And we've seen therapists, but like before that, oh my God, same thing. The therapist was not even like
on the radar.
Thing.
Like it wasn't. Yeah.
And if you did have problems, it's like deal with it.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Which yes, there is a certain part of it that you got to like figure it out and deal with your problems. You don't run to a therapist for every, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to learn to figure it out. Coping mechanisms. But anyways, I decided to go and I tried out this therapist and she was amazing. We meshed immediately and I don't know what to compare it to, but whatever she's doing is working. And I kind of told her what had happened. And basically she did give me one point, and I won't go into so much details, but all I'm going to say is that first week after seeing her, it's like a 180, like that anxiety didn't come in. She's told me some box breathing and that small little things have helped me so much.
Mm-hmm.
But basically she kind of told me that I've always lived in a fight or flight mode. And so that 1 week of happiness was not the norm for me.
Uh-huh.
Do you see what I'm saying? That heightened level of happiness. So she said, basically we need to get there, but you're used to living in this anxious or like fight or flight mode. And which I didn't know, cause I've lived, you know, you're kind of a product of your childhood, right?
Yeah.
And so I've kind of like lived with my grandmother, my dad, just making sure their health was good. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was the oldest sibling. So I had to take care of the household. Mm-hmm. So I put that on myself at a very, very young age. And that's all I know to do is, you know.
Yeah.
So anyways, therapy has helped tremendously. I have to say it. If you find a good therapist, it really, really helps.
So what is that? What did you say? Box breathing. What is that?
So she's told me, okay, so I found out it's not from the chest. It's from your
diaphragm?
Yes. So you stick your tummy out when you breathe in. And you hold it. You have to put your hand there and you have to make sure that stomach comes out. And you hold it not for too long, and then you breathe even longer out.
Okay.
So what I found out from my other friend saying, when you do that, you put pressure on your diaphragm, and it pushes down on your vagus nerve, which is connected up here, and it releases serotonin.
Oh.
So that's why they say to, you know, make sure your stomach comes out, belly comes out.
Okay.
So you put that pressure. Yeah. So I've been teaching that with Rhea, and I'm trying to teach that with Aryan too. Like, if you feel that way, breathe in and out. Mm-hmm. And it actually has helped her a little
bit.
So
this is like when you feel overwhelmed or anxious?
She actually says do it whenever you're not anxious also. So your body kind of gets used to that peaceful, you know, thing. And so when you do have those times, you know, that you need it, the anxious times, that it'll go back to it. It'll work faster. Mm. So she tried doing this when you're not always anxious. So you, what do you call it? You
get to that state faster.
Yes.
What about the, like, relaxing your, like, everything?
What are you trying to ask?
Hey, I'm giving our audience tips and tricks.
Like when you're having sex?
Yes.
I think you...
And other activities?
So, yes. So, you know how they say women have a harder time orgasming, or they just need to kind of relax? You really have to consciously relax. Like, in my opinion, you just have to, like, block everything off and just breathe in and out. So I'll breathe in and out. And just, like, you know, slowly. Uh-huh. Just make a conscious effort to kind of relax. And it does help.
Okay. So is this to clear your mind to have sex during sex or both of it?
Both. I did both of it. And just don't worry. Don't have... Like, my mind is always going. Like,
oh,
thinking
of course.
About it,
yeah.
Like, oh, am I... clean or blah blah blah, how do I look, I feel bloated, whatever,
do I smell bad, whatever,
all those things, just let loose. Just don't even think about it. Think about, like, you know, having that pleasure and giving it and receiving it. Just think about all that in that moment. It's takes time, but I mean, it helps just enjoying it too. I think I enjoy it more that I'm at a relaxed, that this is beneficial for me.
I'm gonna try that next time whenever it is we have sex again.
Yes, try it.
I'll try to remember that.
But you just have to really, really want to be at that relaxed moment.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's just like in yoga, right? Where, like, the very end when you're laying down and they're like, relax all part of you. And you don't really know that you're still not relaxed. You're like, relax your jaw. And you're like, oh, shit, yeah.
Yes.
Relax your shoulders, your fingers, your toes.
And you're kind of holding.
And
yes,
you can't
girl.
Really, you don't think that you are, but you are.
Yep.
You know, and so when you finally, like, realize that full state of relaxation, I mean, it's but then how do you move, right? Like, you can't be fully relaxed because you have to be in the, I guess, like, your mind.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. But those, for 5 minutes, they ask you to do it for what? Less than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? I think there's something to learn from that too. Just let go.
Yeah. Like,
you don't let go the rest of the time, but just for 4 or 5 minutes, learn to let go.
Yeah.
And those.
And it is so hard though.
It is. I absolutely agree. You have to consciously make that effort, right?
Because you're in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, when I get out of here, I got to make this appointment. I got to, I don't know, run a CVS, get prescriptions, you know, go to the, like, so you are always thinking about that, even in class, right? And so, like, asking to do that for 4 minutes is, like, huge. It doesn't sound like a lot, but it's, like, huge. I don't know if I've ever not thought about anything, because then I'm thinking about nothing. I'm consciously trying to think about nothing.
Yes.
But that's still something.
That's what you have to train yourself. I think that you're always on the go. Our lifestyle is always on the go.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's what causes a lot of, are you living in that moment? Mm-hmm. Like, are you relaxing in bed? Are you relaxing when you're hanging out with your kids and everything? We have to make a conscious effort.
Yeah. And so when you brought up, like, the fight or flight mode, I think that's totally, like, I think any adult, but especially, like, a mom, a woman, like, because you're constantly always thinking, like, yeah, I watch a lot of shows, you know, but, like, I'm not sitting down on the couch with a blanket watching it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm folding clothes. I'm doing my makeup with my, you know, watching my phone. I am running errands, listening to podcasts. I'm always thinking about, okay, what do we do? What do we do? But, you know, I have been okay. I have been fine, mm-hmm. like giving myself grace. Like, you know what? If I don't have a lot of things to do, I'll lay in bed. Mm-hmm. I'll watch yeah. Netflix. I will have my hot coffee. And I feel like I'm doing something productive because that is self-care. You mm-hmm. should give yourself that. And then a lot of times, like, I need to remind myself, like, hey, I can take 30 minutes and not do shit.
Yes.
And just watch something.
Yes.
Or not watch anything. Just read something or just do whatever.
Do whatever. But isn't it crazy how we have to teach we have to, like, train ourselves to, like, relax, but we don't have to do that. We're always on the go, 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 go. We're mm-hmm. ready to just do whatever that needs to be done. But we need to take time for
yeah.
ourselves.
Because even if you are playing with your kids, you're thinking about what yes. you need to do afterwards.
Yes. That's why I say we get to live in the moment this year, right?
Yeah.
I also did want to bring up another thing. The reason why also that triggered, like, really pushed me to quickly get into therapy is when I was seeing my functional doctor, when I was looking through my, you know, summaries, a lot of it said there was emotional stress. Mm-hmm. That's like, that can be a big, huge factor in your health.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't quite believe it. I'm like, okay, everybody has some sort of stress. But what I was told is, you know, my grandmother lived with us, mm-hmm. right, until I was 17. And, you know, she had a lot of health issues. She's, you know, I caught her having a heart attack in the bathroom. Oh, and it was intuition that I felt like something was going to happen. But do you see how at a young age, mm-hmm. I'm also very alert what's going on in my household?
Yeah.
Because you care so much about your grandmother. You don't want anything to happen, blah, blah, blah. Same thing as my dad. I lost my dad at a young age, realized he was having a heart attack. So I heard that your body keeps tally of all these different emotional stresses. And it's like almost trapped inside your body. And I am naturally a very emotional person. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I hold these emotions in. So so the way she said is your body it's holding in one of the organs and whatnot. So I was told to do this specific type of therapy, which I haven't done yet. So I can't speak about it. But she had to be certified in EMDR.
Mm-hmm.
Which she is, but there's a whole process to it. And so I'm like, really? Do your body, your organs keep track and your body keeps tally of all the emotional stresses you've gone mm-hmm. through life? Like, you've got to, like, go through therapy to release it. I guess other people, everybody's body is different. But that triggered me that I need to release whatever it is since I have so much, like the liver stuff and everything. Like, that holds a lot of anger also.
Yeah.
So
got an angry liver.
I am. I have a little temper on
I got a happy little liver.
You have a very happy liver. I need to make mine a happy liver.
I have some tips.
Hey, I'm going to take your tips because they are working for Jacqueline. Oh. But
I do agree that your body does hold, because even like subconsciously, like you, you know, that's why they say there's triggers, right? Like, triggers. Mm-hmm. So whenever one of my outlets, whenever I had that going through that stuff with Reslyn, was I wanted to be outside all the time. Mm-hmm. So then I started volunteering at the Arboretum. I don't know if you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was doing that for the longest time, and it was very, very helpful. Like, it was very necessary for me and my mental health at that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now, every time I go, whether it's even for an outdoor concert or the food and wine thing or whatever, like, every time I go to the Arboretum, it's a little triggering, mm-hmm. and I have to fight off that, like, anxious feeling, because my body remembers how I was feeling not how it made me feel going there, but, like, what I was trying to remove from my body by going there.
Right, right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
and
yes.
So, yeah, like, it's just one of those things. I think, like, it'll always, if you don't release it, you'll always have it. And so I'm really interested to see how you do that, because I would be interested in doing something like that.
Yes, I am So I've had some of my, obviously this is my first time going to therapy, but I've had some of my doubts on certain things just mm-hmm. because I don't know, right?
Yeah.
Like the simple things of like breathing, really, that's going to help. But then it really did. And mm-hmm. it's like, oh, wow. I'm a very like, unless I have my doubts.
I get to believe it.
Yeah. I kind of like have to feel it or see it. I'm not saying I don't believe it, but I just have to experience it.
Girl, you're Indian. There's a lot of shit that you do and that our families do that like, you don't see shit, but you know that shit works.
Yes.
Okay. Let's be honest.
But I'm just saying, like, I'm breathing all the time. So why is this not working? But it's like a conscious, deeper level.
Yeah.
So just being more in tune with your body. But anyhow, yeah, I will keep you posted on the
because I
therapy.
Totally want to do that. Oh my gosh, that's why I think, you know, I don't do shrooms a lot, but whenever I get a chance to do it, like, I just feel like you come out with this new different understanding that like you remember. It's not like that just happened there and you can learn from it and you feel like totally changed from something like that, you know. What was I gonna say? And so that tea that you can go, what is it, Ahujawa or whatever,
I know what you're talking about, that
I think we need to look it up. I would love to do that.
Yes. So I have a few doctors that have gone and done that.
Mm-hmm.
They went to Mexico or something. I forget. Yeah. They went to do that.
Yes.
And the wife felt, I mean, she was sitting at a bench. And you were in like a forest. And she was sitting at mm-hmm. a bench with like a doll. I forget, but it was very odd. But she felt really refreshed, like a new person. You know, like mm-hmm. all her past and whatever was bothering her was just kind of cleared out of her mind.
Was she able to like recollect what she thought about when she was in her like hallucinogenic state?
Yes, she remembers all of it. She remembers all of it, where she was sitting. And it's like, you know, I think you still have some control, because her husband said that he was very like stubborn about it and mm-hmm. was like kind of anti against it. So I think...
Allow your body.
Yes.
To
and he's kind of like, I don't have any issues. I don't have any issues. And clearly the wife was telling me that there was some, you know, childhood issues. Or
yeah.
whatever. But like he was very like, yeah, he didn't allow that in. But that drink is ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca. There you go.
It's like a psychoactive beverage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you heal spirituals. So I would, again, I would do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I want someone to do it first, because I have a hard time. This is mm-hmm. my thing. I have a hard time not being in control.
Mm.
And it's funny. I heard that a lot of people wanting to be in control have to do with your anxiety.
Oh, 1,000%. I'm sure, because if you're not in control, you become anxious. Because you're not in control. Yes. You don't know what things are going to happen, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
you
like,
have to know.
Yes. And so for me, whenever, honestly, like I could tell you about this dream that I had taking gummies this past Saturday. And it's fucking amazing. I was telling Chaz about it. I'll save it for another podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
I was telling Chaz about it. And he was like, that is so fucking amazing. Like I think amongst other things, I feel like, was I had this connection to like, you know, like a sixth sense, like, you know,
was this one different though?
This one was a little bit different.
Okay, we can wait for
and it. Then but like same thing with shrooms. I always get this like sense of like, okay, this like really eye-opening, like three levels deep subconscious thinking that completely makes 1,000% sense. But in your conscious mind, you can't
because you
allow
have, it's
yourself.
Yes, yes.
To do that.
Because it's
you
clouded
know what I mean?
With so many other. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you always want to be in control. So you almost don't let your mind do that, because you're like, that is not, that's mm-hmm. not realistic, or that's not, you know, doesn't make sense. But it does. And it unlocks this like whole. I am a big proponent for like, you know, especially to treat like a lot of mental health stuff, like microdosing.
Yeah.
Gummies, edibles and stuff like that, because I don't know, man, it just adds more to things, you know, like whether you know, like you understand what some people can ramble, you know what I mean? But like a lot of things can make sense too.
Right.
You know, you're like, yeah. Wow, I never thought about things like that or thought about it that way. Right. You know, you open your, unlock your mind to like receive different interpretations.
Right. Right.
So anyway.
No, I think that's, there is some truth behind, no, I think it's true. Mm. I think it's about letting your mind mm-hmm. think so much. Cause I think you're just, the control is controlling you from not thinking much deeper. Right.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
And I've already gave up control a long time ago, so why not?
Well, I don't think, I didn't put it together. I don't really, you don't, I think subconsciously, you don't think you're thinking that you're trying to control. Do mm-hmm. you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But there, what, when she said it, I was like, wait, what? But it makes kind of sense that you yeah. want to be in the know, and you just can't be in the unknown because mm-hmm. you want to control that situation. Because you're going to have anxiety if you don't know. Does that make any sense?
Girl, yes. And I've already, you're talking, preaching to the choir here, because I have already been there, done that. I mean, you think about with Breslin, right? So like, I don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
I don't know. She may not ever walk. She may not ever eat normal food. She may not ever, you know, grow past 45 inches. I don't know. Right. And so if I focus on that mm-hmm. instead of just enjoying now, mm-hmm. I'd fucking drive myself crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I've had to learn to not think about that. Cause whenever I do, whenever I used to think about that mm-hmm. and like, oh, she, you know, she, I hope she walks by 5. I hope she walks by 7. I am just creating that anxiety yes. on myself. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then I had a reason like, okay, well then if she does walk, what am I going to do? Then I'm going to want her to run. Like it's never going to be
it's
enough.
Never ending. Yeah, it's never enough. To, yeah.
You know what I mean? And so whatever she is or does or, you know, mm-hmm. I have made myself be okay with all of that. Like I've grieved the, I don't want to say the life I thought I'd have, but the child I thought could do all these things or would do all these things, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And just had to like, okay, this is my normal. And if I didn't think about that way, like I can see how a lot of people, you know, don't come full circle from that stuff.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's true. But anyways.
It makes us interesting.
It does make it interesting. And it just, you know, I didn't never understood when someone said, you don't have control over your life. You just, and it's so true. Mm-hmm. Like this was, you know, going through this, and that's what I was trying to tell her. I was like, I'm trying to control that I never ever get, like all these things of the whole cancer stuff started scaring me and I went crazy. I mm-hmm. literally went crazy. Like, oh, what if there's so many cancers you can't control it? Well, yeah, you're never going to be able to control it.
I know. And you have too many organs. Like, that's the thing. That's how shit makes you like.
But then I went that route though. Like yeah. you said, you'll never. And I went that route. I just started saying, okay, this part of my body hurts. Oh my gosh. You start yeah, to yeah. relate and drive yourself crazy.
Yeah. But yeah. Well, I'm glad it's working.
It is.
It is. I'm excited for your next part too, because I may want to do that.
Yes. I will let you know.
And we should try to look into that ayahuasca.
Yeah, see if there's. Yeah, I think Bob definitely wants to do it.
If we go together, we all have. Then if we all go together, then even if we shit ourselves, we all have dirt on everybody, so no one can say anything.
They're not really like conscious enough to like remember all that, and it's, you know. Hopefully,
I heard everyone has a bucket.
They do,
and it can come out of anyways.
Yes. Front or back. Front or back.
So if we're all in it together, we're all in it. Whatever stays happens there stays there.
Yes. And yes, I will look into doing that.
All right. Well, that was our podcast. If you haven't started following us on our Instagram, we have some fun stuff at Authentically Moms. And don't forget to rate us, review us, follow us. And we will see you next week.
All right.
You do you, boo.
Bye.